All right, you guys. Now, this is a poor little guy from Africa. He's wearing 3 layers on top and 2 layers on the bottom just so we don't freeze him out here. Yeah. I said, Brother Samuel, you got to come in the winter. He said, I would die. I said, no, we wouldn't want you. We take care of you.
Thank you.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Bless you all. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be here with you. Yes, it's been 5 years since I came here, and God's grace has kept every one of us to see ourselves again. Well, the journey is not straight, it's rough. But the Lord keeps us.
Amen.
Every step of the way.
Amen.
Yes. So he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we are just depending on him. We can't make it all by ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
So we need to trust him. And he who has begun the work in us will surely see us through to
Amen.
The end. So this evening, it's a privilege to be with you, and let's have a word of prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we are always thankful when we have a time like this to gather ourselves together and fellowship around your word. One time, Lord, all men left you, and you asked the disciples, will you also go? And Jesus, Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? They saw something special in you and with you that they could not find anywhere, and that is eternal life. So, Lord, no matter what the situation was, whether they understood you or not, they saw eternal life in you. And so they decided to be with you. So have we found eternal life with you, which this world cannot give. And of course, they cannot take it also away from us. We bless your name this evening. Father, just speak to us. In this reckless age, Lord, where everything seemed to, oh God, just be against your word. It looks like the devil is in control. But Lord, we say, no, he cannot be in control. You are still in control. Father, and because you are in control, you will see your own through. Father, grant us your word to establish us, to strengthen us, to minister unto our various needs. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to read a scripture from John chapter 10, And verse 37, John 10, 37. Let's hear the word of the Lord. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Amen. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Amen. We can please take our seats. And this evening, just want to talk about what is the work of God? What is the work of God? Jesus says, if I don't do the work of God, or if I do not the work of my Father, believe me not. One time, Pilate asked, what is truth? What is truth? That was when Jesus said, for this cause came I unto this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So when he said this, Pilate wanted to know, what is truth? But now he says, anyone who is of the truth hears his voice. If you are of the truth, you will certainly hear his voice. So it means that it's not everyone who will hear the voice of God or the voice of Jesus for that matter. But if you are of the truth, you will hear his voice. It's just like saying, my sheep hear my voice. If you are my sheep, you will certainly hear my voice. So it means that we have truth and then we have falsehood. Not everything that we hear or go around is truth. Some are false. Hallelujah. You know, so we, looking at the time that we are in, we're in the closing moments of time. We have no time. See, time shall be no more. But we realize that so many things are going around. So many things are in the air, especially this side of the world. So many things. And it's so heartbreaking. Things that we hear and things that we see around. But then some of these things are prophecies. And so we can do nothing about them. They must happen. And that is why they are happening. But to us, who are of the truth, will hear one voice, will hear his voice. And that voice is what will keep us through this life. You know, there are many voices, but if we will keep to this one voice, which is the voice of the Lord in our day, that is what will keep us from all these troubles. The moment we ignore the voice of God in our day and go to listen to any other voice, then we'll find ourselves in trouble. We are not called to be churchgoers, not to play church. We are not another group of or denomination. But the Bible says that we are a special people. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. So God has his eyes upon us. And once he is the one who called us, let us continue trusting him that he will see us through. No matter how boisterous things become, no matter how things turn around, the boat can capsize, but God will keep us. So, like I'm saying, there is one voice, which is the voice of God, which is the true word of God, which has been given to us, and we must follow. Hallelujah. One time in John chapter 4 and verse 22, when Jesus met the woman at the well, along the conversation, Jesus told the woman, "You people don't know who you worship, but we know who we worship. John chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. We know who we are worshiping." But some don't know who they worship. They worship all right, but they don't know who they worship. But we know who we worship. Amen. We know who we are worshiping. You know, if you don't know who you are worshiping, you can worship anyhow, anything goes. Like the prophet said, it is not to know the word, but to know the author. People know the word, can quote from Genesis to Revelation. Fine, it's fine. But then you have to know the author. And that is what we know, I believe. In the same way, it is not about knowing the message, quoting here and there, but we should know the sender, he who has given it. If you are in doubt as to who gave it, that is where your problem begins. If you don't believe that this is God-sent message, that is where your problem begins. You can know it all and quote it all the time, but you must know him who has sent it. We cannot just boast of just being message believers. It doesn't end there. It doesn't even go anywhere. See, as I'm preaching, as I read, anybody who has gone to school can read. It doesn't profit us if we know the message says, the prophet says, fine, it's good. But then we must know who the prophet is and who the prophet is representing. If we know these things, it will keep us steady. It will keep us in line. But when we are in doubt of these, and that is why we're having all these problems, falling away and all that, because they know the letter, but they don't know who sent it or who wrote it. So we must know who we are worshiping. I know that this is Jehovah God that I'm worshiping. God said, Jehovah God of yesterday, of the New Old Testament, is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. So it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, and if we know him like that, it will be an expression of our lives. It will express itself in our lives. We will not say we know him and then live a life contrary to who he is. Because we know that the bride and the groom are the same. If the groom is the word, the bride must also be the word. Because the groom cannot be different from the bride, or the bride cannot be different from the groom. She is bone of his bone and then flesh of his flesh. So we must be the word on 2 feet that people are reading. We have to, it's not what somebody says or someone's experience. See, our walk with the Lord should not be based on somebody's experience, but our personal experience, our personal relationship with Him. That will tell that we know Him. Jesus asked the woman, or told the woman, you Samaritans worship, but you don't know who you worship. But we Jews, we know who we worship. So we must also know who we worship, not just like the Samaritan people. You know, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees always made their boast about Abraham being their father. That's why we have Abraham for our father. We have Abraham for our father. And Jesus told them, if Abraham were really your father, you would know me. You would have believed me. Because Abraham, your father, the one you are claiming to be your father, knew me. He delighted to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. So if you are of Abraham, as you are claiming, you must also delight to see me in your day and be glad in it. So it's not about just saying, I belong here, I belong that, I belong. No, no, no. If you are Abraham, if you have Abraham as your father, as you're claiming, you would have believed me. You'd have rejoiced in me. Because Abraham represented me. He said, before Abraham, I am, not I was. So all the prophets that have come, put together, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are claiming, you believe this, you are Methodist, you are this, you are that, and that, and that. These are all put together, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, you know, the revelation doesn't stop. It keeps unfolding. It keeps unfolding from the first church age, talking about we Gentiles, up to the seventh church age. It is an unfolding thing. The revelation continues to be unfolded, unfolded until the last church age, which is our day, and our messenger who puts all the loose ends together for us to get the right picture, like a jigsaw. Get the right picture of what who Jesus is, what the whole thing is about. Let me read something from John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. John 6, 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You know, the world is in a confused state. Christianity has come to the crossroads, and everybody is claiming to be the truth or to be on the right track. Of course, our song, one of our songs says, but the plumb line proves them untrue. If you want to do the works of God, it says, believe on him whom he has sent. That is how you can do the works of God. Say, how? Say, let me read it again. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They want to work the works of God. They want to do the work of God. They want to please God. And then Jesus responds by saying that this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. The God that you want to do his work. Believe on him that God has sent. Amen. Believe on him whom God has sent. This afternoon, my brother, precious brother, was reminding me of a message I preached once here, the lonely pilgrim. See, now, it is a question of the individual. God is not coming for a group like this. He's coming for individuals. So when we talk of what is the work of God, or what should we do to please God, to be seen or to be doing the work of God, it is about believing on him whom he, God, has sent. So then it is not a collective something. It is an individual belief, individual faith in that person that God has sent. Jesus gives a simple answer. If you want to do the work of God, believe on him that God has sent. But here we see all through, before the time of Jesus, they killed all the prophets that ever came. These were the men that God has sent. In every age, as we know, God sends messengers according to the needs of the people. And so if you want to do the work of God, if you want to please God, he says, believe on him whom God has sent. It's as simple as that. You know, in... Hallelujah. The world has gotten to a place where everyone is given his own interpretation of the word or the Bible. And they are going astray. You know, the further you try to explain the word away, the further you go away from the truth. And everybody or every denomination, every creed is trying to show that they are more spiritual. And so they try to kind of explain the word, teach them in their Bible schools, just to show that they are spiritual. You know, I don't know what happens here, but back in Ghana, there are these Pentecostal ministers that read the message books. They read them secretly. See, they read this message book secretly and then go and preach to their congregation. They just, of course, they sieve it. Those that are contrary to their faith, they just leave them. But those that are general, for the congregation to know that these are their own revelations, sure. See, just to have confidence in them. Sure. But it doesn't get anywhere. Because you don't have the revelation. You don't have faith in it. You only want to let people see that you have something. Meanwhile, you are as empty as anything. See? So here again, the individual comes in. And if God has blessed us with such a message, with a messenger, and we believe that this is of God, if we believe that this is of God, then let us hold fast to it. Let us not listen to the many voices. People are drifting here and there. People are trying to add to the revelation and just a whole lot of things. But let us stay in the middle. Let us stay in the middle. Just a little admonition I'm giving this evening. Let us stay in the middle. Let's not move to the left or to the right. Let's stay with the message that we have received in our day. Unless we have questions about the prophet and the message, fine. But otherwise, let us not move away from what we have received. It will not be long and our Lord will come. You know, see, the number will be reducing to become fewer and fewer. But let it not be you. And don't let it be me. Let us stay in line that he will come and meet us or find us just holding on. Challenges in life, we cannot avoid them. We cannot do away with them. Our challenges come in different ways. And the brother was praying, sometimes you think God has deserted you. Why me? Why this? Why that? But it's all part of the journey. It is all part of the journey. Let us hold fast unto the word that he has given to us. You know, the only way that we can please God in our day and in every age or day is to believe on him whom God has sent. God has sent to us a prophet, and so we must believe this prophet, and that is what will prove that we are doing the work of God. Because God, knowing every age and all the troubles and all the divisions and all that, he always, like he said, he raises a standard against the devil, you know. So he knows what will prevail in our age, the works of the enemy. And so God raises a standard against that. So as we go by that standard, it means that we are doing the work of God. You go outside of that, you cannot stand the test of time. You cannot stand the wind that is blowing in our day. You cannot stand it. So what God is telling us is that, Jesus told the people, he's telling us is that the work to do the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. And if you and I believe that God has sent us a prophet, the only way we can please God is to believe on him that he has sent. Anything outside this, we cannot please God. If anything can please God, then he wouldn't need to send a messenger. If what they are preaching around is enough to please God, then there will be no need to send a messenger. But because everything has gone haywire, God sends a prophet. He sends a prophet to us. Hallelujah. We know that we are just about the end of the world. We are about the end of church history, the world's history. We are about the end of all things. Everybody is doing something for himself. Now, you know, I don't know what it is here, but in Ghana, everybody is religious. Everybody is religious. Sundays, everybody goes to church. See, and it ends on Sunday. And the picture changes. See, everybody, they know, because that is how God made us. We know, everybody knows that there is a God. We need to worship. Of course, that Abraham said, that's why people worship anything. Because to worship is part of us. But the only thing that we worship things that should not be worshipped. But you and I have known the way of God, the work of God, what God expects of us. And so, as people are just torn apart, not knowing exactly what they have to do, but they are doing something just to satisfy their conscience that they are also worshiping, they are also doing that. We are not like that because we have received a prophet. We have received God's messenger. And he is showing us how to please God. We are not following denominations or any religious hierarchy who gives command or instructions for us to go by or live by. We are receiving directly from the Lord God. He has given us his word. And this word is so precious, brethren. It's so precious. We can't let it go. We can't let it fall. We can't just drop it and then let the pigs, swine, just play with it. It has to be so precious to us. It has to be so precious to us. And if as we continue in him, we are doing the work of God. People will laugh at us. People, amen. See, people will laugh at us. They will do many things. They will, especially our sisters, wearing long dresses, your long hairs and everything. It's like you belong to the ancient world. Fine. God is the ancient God. We are worshiping, we are serving the living God, the old-time God, with an old-time religion. See, we are not modernizing the word. We are not modernizing Christianity. You know, today, people are modernizing Christianity. Anything goes, and you understand. See, but for us to please God, it says the only way that we can do the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent to us. The prophet said, I truly believe that the work of God has many faces to it. I believe the church is the work of God. I believe missionary is the work of God. Evangelism is the work of God. Soul winning, divine healing is the work of God. And the gift of the Spirit is the work of God. It could be talked on many different outlets. Talking about the work of God. But the work of God is to believe in his prophets. Jehoshaphat said that. Believe in God and believe in his prophet. You shall prosper. So the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus wasn't speaking at that time just about his physical presence there, that they should believe him alone. Amen. God, Jesus did not complete the work. So when he said that, when he made that statement, it wasn't referring to him alone, that's they believe in him alone. But subsequent or and previous messengers. That is why he reprimanded the Jews. You know, one time they said, oh, if we were in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. He said, no, that is not true. You have done the same thing because your prophets killed, your fathers killed the prophets, and you are here now in your day garnishing the tombs of the prophets that were killed. So it's just a continuation of what your fathers did. So if you were there, you would have done the same thing. You didn't believe them that were sent of God to show you the way to go, how to do the work of, how to please God. If you were in your days, you have done the same thing. Because your attitude today is showing that you would have done what your fathers did. They didn't believe in those that God sent to them. And God, you know, as our prophet tells us, you know, God does not just send prophets until the people have strayed from divine order. Amen. In Ephesian church age, just a little, this it said, these seven messengers are making God known to the people. These seven messengers, thank you. Thank you. I have a small ear, but very outstanding. These seven messengers are making God known to the people. So the seven messengers, or the messengers of God, come to make known to us who God is. And how can you worship him if you don't know him? Once again, going back to the Samaritan woman, you worship, but you don't know who you worship. But these messengers come to make known to us who God is. He said, he that receiveth them, receiveth him that sent them. That is the Ephesian church. He that receiveth these messengers, receiveth him that sent them. Who sent them? God. So if you receive the messengers, you have received God. If you reject them, refuse them, you have refused God. And how can you refuse them who have been sent by God to you and still claim that you are doing the work of God? No. The two are at variance. They don't meet. They don't agree. Because he says, to do the work of God is to believe on them that he has sent. And so you cannot reject them and continue worshiping, thinking that you are doing the work of God, or you are working the work of God. So that is what places us on a high pedestal. That is what makes us who we are, what we are. Because we have believed, we have received, we have accepted the one that God has sent to us. That alone shows that we are doing the work of God. Because things have gone wrong. And the prophets or the messengers or the men of God are brought in to straighten the path, to bring us in. So he that receiveth them, receiveth him that sent them. John chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So, looking at Revelation chapter 1, we see Jesus there, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then he has the seven stars in his right hand. And then he sends these stars. These stars represent the messengers, the seven messengers. And Jesus sending them. They don't just go out of his hands, but he releases them as and when it is due. And so he's saying that. When did we read? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Here again, it wasn't just the disciples, those disciples that he was talking about, that if you receive them, you receive him. Anyone that God sends. If the people receive him, they have received God. So when they rejected Moses, when they doubted the ministry of Moses, God was angry. Because it wasn't Moses that they had rejected, but it was he, God. In the days of Samuel, when the people desired a king, Simon was just broken down. But God told him, it's not you that they are rejecting, but it is me. They don't want me to be their leader. So they are rejecting me. Samuel was representing God, Jehovah. And so Samuel took it personal, but God said, no, it's not you, but it's me. So anytime the people refuse or they reject the men that God sent in their days or to them, it is God that they have rejected. If the president of the States, United States, send an ambassador somewhere, and then let's say they beat that ambassador or they maltreat him. Yes, the pain goes to the ambassador, but the shame or whatever comes back to he who sent him. So once they refuse God's messengers, it is God that they have. It means that you don't want God in your way. Just like is it Isaiah 30 or something, when they were being told to. Just a minute. I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 9 to 11. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 to 11. Now, there is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They didn't want anything from God. They just wanted smooth things. Prophesy deceit to us. That is what we are. We don't want the real thing. And then in Jeremiah chapter 6, I think verse 16 or so, God was admonishing them to ask of the right way, the old path, and go as Jeremiah 16, verse 17. Jeremiah 6 and 16, verse 16. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. They are not ready to take God's direction or God's instruction. Mm-hmm. They want to go their own way. That is the nature of man. He always wants his liberty. And that is why today we have right, no left. God himself, who is the creator, has no right. Men, animals, everything have taken their right. God has no right. God has been relegated to the background. There's no respect for him. Someone sent me a video clip and I think the Satanist worship. I learned US they have legalized it. I don't know. But that is what we are hearing, whether it's true. That now they can worship publicly. And there was a woman who had the Bible in her hands, and then she was just tearing it. Mm-hmm. God have mercy on them. See, so the world is in this condition because they have refused him that God has sent. The prophet said it. Say, America is gone. Say, America is gone because they have refused. It's just like Jesus told the people that they have not known the day of their visitation. They have not known the day of their visitation. Once you reject God's messenger or God's word, you are gone. But that's the only way you can please God. If you go any other way, no, you can't do it. We cannot do anything. You know, we have two ways, as the prophet says, man's way and God's way. Mm-hmm. Man always wants to go his own way because we want liberty. We don't want to have any restrictions in any way. If we take God's way, that is what will be good for us. If we have to forsake ourselves, deny ourselves, because that is our way. If we have to deny ourselves, forsake our own ways, and take to the way of God, which of course comes by his prophets. They come to show us the way of God. If we take the way of God, that is what will benefit us. That is what will keep us going. Otherwise, we'll mess ourselves along the line. Just want to read something. In the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 41, it said, behold, Acts chapter 13 verse 1, behold, he despises and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I work a work in your day, which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. The prophet said, men believe what God has done, and they look forward to what God will do. But whatever God is doing in their day, they don't see it. They don't see it, yes. They don't believe it. But they believe what God has done and what God will do, but not what's in our day. But I say, he despises. He wonder. He perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which you will no wise believe, though a man declares unto you. God has sent a prophet. I just want to emphasize on that. God has sent a prophet to our day, to our age. That is our only hope. If we want to do the work of God, just follow what the prophet has laid down for us. Else we'll go astray. With all these voices and noise all around, we'll go astray. Let us follow what God has done for us. Romans chapter 10, I'm just about closing. Romans chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2. Paul's burden concerning Israel. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have a zeal of God, yes. The people, the Christians or whatever, Pentecostals, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The zeal is there. So they are bypassing the righteousness of God to establish their own righteousness. Now, I want to say the righteousness of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. Yeah. But they bypass that and then go to Bible schools, learn so much theology, this and that, trying to establish their own righteousness. That will not work. That will not work. So they, ignoring or neglecting or whatever, putting aside the righteousness of God, they try to establish their own righteousness. Say they have zeal. But that's my heart's desire. They have the zeal. Look at the Pentecostals and all those Christian circles. They have zeal. But then, they say, not according to knowledge. They are doing all those things, sometimes for a show, for popularity, for fame, sometimes for filthy lucre. But if you have the righteousness of God, it's about following or obeying, taking the word of those that he has sent. Right, then? I think I'm talking too much. You know, but there's a burden. See, there's a burden. Let us hold fast to the word that has come to us. Let us hold fast to the word that has come to us. Because everything is coming to the climax. Everything is coming to the climax. And for all this while, or this time that the Lord has led us, is it at this very dying moment that we're going to betray him? We're going to forsake him? We're going to just denounce him? No. The hour has come. The time is so close. We have fought up to this point. We have run the race up to this point. Let's continue. It doesn't matter how it looks like, but let us continue. Sometimes you may have some thoughts and all those things running through your mind. You know, like John the Baptist. He was the very person who introduced Christ as the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. See, I didn't know, but he who sent me told me that upon whom you see the dove descending on, he is the one. So he was the one who introduced Jesus Christ. But even along the line, he became a bit distracted. He sent some of his disciples, go and ask him, is he the one? Is he the one to come, or we have to wait for another one? We are human. Sometimes, you know, those things will be flashing through our mind. But no, just don't give them a moment to think about it, to consider it. No. We need no other argument. We need no other plea. It is enough what God has done for us. Let us hold fast to what he has given to us. It's just a privilege. It is God's grace. That's what he told the disciples. He said, blessed are your ears and your eyes that are seeing and hearing these things. Because it's not given to everybody. Not everybody who can receive this message. The prophet said, when God sends a message, he prepares a people to receive that message. Amen. Count ourselves privileged. Amen. To have been counted among those whose eyes have been opened, whose ears have been opened to hear, to see these things. What is the work of God? The work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. And that should settle with us. That is what God expects of us. Let us be faithful unto God in all that he has done for us. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether this song, So Just Be Faithful, Believe His Word, is it familiar? If you have it, I want us to sing it using the tune of Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's use that tune to sing the song. How you doing? Can I have a
176?
That's sorry. Oh, okay. Thank you. Please, not Blessed Assurance, but the song. We can use the tune of Blessed Assurance to 219. Okay, so just be faithful. I'm sorry. Yes. It goes this way. In these days of trials, so near the end, when Christ from glory doth now descend, men's hearts are failing and filled with fear. We know the end time is surely here. So just be faithful, believe His word. Stay with the message. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophet, His message heed. Walk in the light where His standard lead. In every church age, establish shine to help God's people a truth to find. In this last church age, a star shines bright. So friend, is receive it, walk in the light. Faith must be faithful. Stay with the message that you have heard. Let's to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light. Do not be fearful or filled with dread. Your prophet sleepeth, he is not dead. The bride is waiting now for that voice, and it is hope we cannot rejoice. So just be faithful. So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that we have heard. Listen to His prophet, His message heed. Walk in the light where He does not lead. Amen. So let us just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that God has sent to us. What is the work of God that we might do? It says, the work of God is to believe in Him whom He has sent. So if you and I believe that God has sent us a prophet, believing Him is doing the work of God. Amen. Let's bow down our heads. So just be faithful, believe His word. Stay in the message. Stay in the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophet. Listen to His prophet. message in walking the line, walking the path where Eastern doth lead. Father, we thank you so much that it pleased you, O God, in our day, when you knew that we couldn't help ourselves, when you knew that, Lord, we'll just go into deception. Father, you came ahead of the deception of the wicked, sending your message, send the right word through a prophet to us. Gracious Master, we thank you so much. We are weak, full of weaknesses and shortcomings. But Lord, help us to hold fast unto this word. Straighten us up, Lord, when we are going out of tune. May we hold unto your word. Father, it's not everything that we will understand, but cause us just to believe in your word. We are very thankful. The world is going so wayward. Prophet said the world is hell-bound. But God, you have a chosen people, the elect, who will never be deceived. Thank you, Father, for making us part of the elect. We didn't do anything to merit that. But out of grace, out of your mercy, out of love, you have made us one. We thank you so much, Lord. Help us in times like this. Difficult times may come. Challenges may come our way in diverse ways, Father, oh Lord. But I know, as Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to see me through this life. We thank you, gracious Lord. May you bless your children, this fold, and continue to strengthen them. Continue to increase their love for you. Deepen, oh God, their love for you. Increase their faith and help them, Lord. Even the pastor, oh God, Father, strengthen him, his home. Father God, may he continue to be a channel of blessing in your hands. Oh God, to prepare a people for your coming. Lord, the church officers who are supporting him, Father, bless every one of them. Let them all, Father, be together in love. Father, bind them with a cord of love that cannot be broken, that they will stay together, Father, until you come. We are looking forward to your coming. Keep us, O God, always in line. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
It's more real to us all the time, doesn't it? He said unto them, it isn't given, but it is given to you. And so this is eternal life, that you might know Jesus Christ, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Now, the most beautiful thing, this is eternal life. And that eternal life is in us and working in us. Don't you love him? So thankful. So thankful. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our dear brother Samuel. What a blessing to be together again. And Father, all of your children, the called out, as Brother Branham says, the called out of the world, called out of the churches, but they're called to this, to rejoice over the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we are feeding on the fresh manna, the fresh carcass that's been for us in this day, and how we love it, Father. And we, this is where we gather. This is what attracts us. This is what we're hungry for all the time. We thank you because you create that desire, that faith, that hunger that centers us right there and will not let us depart from it. So to you, Father, be all glory and honor in the churches of Jesus Christ around the world. Now, Father, be with your children. Bless them. Keep them just anchored into you. Bless them as they go home now and keep each one safe. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems like I said, Brother Samuel, do you notice when you go around the saints of the Lord getting battle weary? He says, everywhere I go. He's here to strengthen us. Okay? And sometimes we need to go. I know, remember David under pressure? Some one time he said he had to go strengthen himself in the Lord. Everything was looking against him. Get before the Lord and go strengthen yourself in him. Let's stand up. Come on, let's hug one another. Come on, I'm here for you, you're here for me. And we need strength and encouragement from one another. God bless you all. Blessed be the time. Yeah, that's what I think too. Blessed be the time.